Tuesday, October 9th, 2018, 5:30 p.m. Calling to order the meeting of the Board of Fire Commissioners of Duett Fire District. Present, Commissioner Pisano.
Commissioner Conley.
Commissioner Zace.
Chief Rube.
And Amy's not here, so there's no recording. Public comment.
Cynthia Gardner, 94 School Street. I just want to remind the board that according to the bylaws, you have to hold at least one monthly meeting. Thank you.
Yeah, if I could address that. I sincerely apologize to the citizens of the village of Gatuit that I was not here. And it happened to be when he wasn't here, so.
Next item is review and approval of meeting minutes from the August 14th meeting. Finally got those together and they are available. Have you had a chance to look at them?
I did. I read them this today.
Good.
Have you had a chance to?
Okay. Are there any changes?
None for me.
None for me.
All right. Then I move that we accept the minutes as written.
Second.
In favor?
Zace.
Conley.
Okay. It's unanimous. Fire Chief's report. We have monthly activities that have been, am I correct, combined for the past 2 months since
yes.
We missed the September meeting.
Correct.
Okay. Go for it.
So responses. So there were 159 responses for August, September, 98 medical, 5 hazardous conditions, and 56 good intent service and false alarm calls.
Wait, back up. Yeah. On the incidents report, there was one that was listed as citizen complaint. I had not seen that category before.
I had to go back and clean that up. So sometimes the officers, when they do the reports, they have to pick up a 3-digit code, and one of them is citizen complaint. Generally, they have many times used that for burning without a permit. So when a neighbor complains about another neighbor that they're...
Oh, I see. Yeah.
None of them were complaints as to our operation, our activities. They were complaints about someone else. I changed them back to burning without a permit or something that they found. So that's what that was. That was not a complaint to our operations.
Very good. Thank you. I appreciate the clarification.
I hope it wasn't me.
I don't know.
I'm just kidding.
Sure it was.
So you were about to address
mutual
aid. Well,
we're talking about responses. I updated the mutual aid graph.
I have a quick question. So there were two of them. They were like one right after the other one. Which is the one that we should be looking at?
Oh, so two graphs. One is mutual aid to Mashpee, and one's mutual aid from Mashpee. I have not included graphs of the other towns.
Is there a similar amount of mutual aid to and from? From COM and
not so similar at all. I think I don't have the numbers in front of me. I think COM comes to us about 20 times a year. We go to them about the same, about 18 times a year. It's mutual. It is in fact defined by the word mutual between us and COM. Mm-hmm. It's very similar to the responses. Mashpee's is much different. It's 100. We're looking like 110 this year compared to them. Of us going there compared to us going there once a month, about 12. So they come to us about once a month. We go there in excess of 10 times a month. So, there's been a position finally talk about a little bit about a meeting may have in Mashpee, but I did a new graph for this last month, and as of September, you can see on the chart there's a dramatic drop. We're now in September, we're down to the median where we have been the last 4 years. Last month we were more than double the high. This month we dropped right down to the median. It made some changes. It's making a difference. And the graphs show that.
Okay. So, this is a little nitpick, but on the one that says mutual aid from Mashpee, it confused. This is why I got confused.
Sure.
Because actual title of the graph says Mutual Aid 2 Mashpee, but in any event.
Which one? Mutual Aid 2 Mashpee, okay.
Right, but the one that says Mutual Aid, where the file is Mutual Aid from.
Or stored in the wrong title, okay.
And so I was confused when I was looking at the today. I was going, wait a minute, what's going on?
Yes,
so, to summarize,
yes,
it appears that we're giving them more than they're giving us. Is that fair?
Always have.
Okay.
It's always been a problem for as long as I've known. This last month, the month of August, we reached
25,
which is the highest ever before. That was 15, or the highest in the last 4 years was 15, and that was July of 2016. So we went from the high of 15 to the high of 25.
And not to try to get ahead of things that you might say, is that I thought I heard you say that there was something that happened in September to change the nature of the...
We've been working with Mashpee Fire for the last year trying to fix this problem. Getting to the point where I think the commissioner's meeting...
I was not.
We discussed meeting with the town management, Commissioner Conley and I met with the town manager and agreed upon some changes for them.
Oh, is that what you're going to talk about, Kevin?
Yeah. Yeah, either way.
For the purposes of continuity, maybe we can just have that report now. But back to your first question, Adam. The first graph that is labeled Mutual Aid from Mashpee, and then inside the graph it says Mutual Aid to Mashpee. But I just wanted to confirm the actual graph is accurate as to
yes.
From.
That's what I'm hearing from
Chief.
Yeah,
right.
So guys, yeah, you got that?
I guess in the chair and file.
Right, but this is the error.
Right.
Oh, right there.
Yeah, but the actual graph represents the data.
You're right. Did I put that in the same number? Okay.
I think it's just.
Okay.
It's not really a complaint. It's just like it got me confused for a minute.
Yeah.
But I don't believe that the data is wrong. I just think it's the title of the thing.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, I just wanted it noted so that we know what we're going to correct because these will appear as appendices.
Mm. We're going to correct. So the top title, Mutual Aid from Mashpee,
is correct.
Is correct. The Mutual Aid to Mashpee at the bottom will be changed to Mutual Aid.
Right, you could just strike that subtitle completely.
I can strike them. I'll scrap the subtitles from both.
Yeah.
The main titles from both are correct.
Yep.
The subtitles are copied and were in state.
Okay.
Yeah, because it was...
Mashpee, during a meeting with down in Mashpee, they acknowledged that these numbers were correct, or as much as they believed they were correct.
Yeah, I mean, when I really ignored that and looked at the data points, I said, oh, okay, I get it.
Commissioner Conley, would you like to jump in with the...
Sure. So we had I don't have the date in front of me. I actually pulled it up, Chief. Thank you, though. We actually had a good meeting. Do you remember the date that we were over there? Forgot to pull that up.
Wasn't it September 20th?
Somewhere in that ballpark. So we had a good meeting.
September 17th, I sent the email, so I think it was September 17th earlier today. Monday, September 17th.
Okay.
Oh,
so we had a good meeting with the Mashpee town manager, Rodney Collins, his second in command, the chief of the fire department, and his assistant chief. Correct?
Correct.
Chief, those are the ones that were present. We basically went in. Chief did a great job with the PowerPoint, which I believe was sent to all of you. Right?
Mm-hmm.
Outlining where our concerns are. I would say they didn't necessarily see eye to eye to us on every item that was there, but they did understand where our concerns were and have committed to looking at how they're going to solve the problem. We did do, Chief did a great job outlining an email back to them, and I'll just call it to your attention, pointing out that what we had discussed was that the Mashpee was going to fill an EMS officer in one firefighter position, implement new mutual aid districts, redistricting in Kituit response area, investigate seasonal peak staffing increases, investigate two-person BLS medical transport, and investigate changes to standby procedures, which causes us some challenges. We believe, because of the way they're calling people back at their own, document on staff usage as it relates to requests for mutual aid. Does the captain, EMS, or fire prevention officer respond on an ambulance? From our perspective, we are investigating the possibility of using Mashpee personnel to fill positions on a Kootenai transporting ambulance, Kootenai duty officer to return after transport. We've since made the decision, not unilaterally, but in conjunction with the union, that probably doesn't work, doesn't make sense. So I think you're either communicating that back today.
I haven't yet sent the email to them, but I'm going to communicate that back to the Mashpee.
Back to the Mashpee, right.
Looked at that possibility and possibly have an alternative, a counter proposal. If they have extra staff they want to help us out with, we can maybe use them in a different way.
Sure.
So they don't mix crews.
So that email was sent over to Rodney and company. I think we copied the chief and the assistant chief as well, right?
Yes.
Okay. And he came back very quickly with, and I'll summarize, an email back saying, we're looking at this. Basically what he said is he's looking at it with no commitment that they're going to do it. We have a follow-up meeting scheduled for November something. November 14th, thank you. Where we will review the status, what steps they're taking. Some of what they were talking about as well was looking for additional funding for those personnel that we talked about. If they come up to full staff, that would make our life, we believe, a lot easier. Redistricting of the mutual aid districts hopefully will help. I personally have some concerns about that, but we'll see how that plays out.
Great. Thank you for your effort in this matter, and we will stay posted.
Yeah, his tone is a bit cheeky in his email back.
I'd like to say that I meeting with them ended in a very positive note. They were very supportive and understood where we were coming from and made a genuine commitment to take steps to fix the problem. Is that fair to say?
I would agree wholeheartedly with that.
Good. And judging by the September numbers,
we've seen a. I've personally listened to the deputy chief on the radio several times. Who was obviously making a really big commitment to try to make some change, and it's showing a little bit. So
good. Very good.
Right. Our concern, in all frankness, is more April, right? May, June.
Right. April through August is the.
That's right. So, but what as the chief talked about from a radio point of view, what they're hearing is that they're making more of an effort to use their own resources versus letting their resources sit in the garage.
Right.
Very positive.
Good.
Administration. So you've got Senior Safe Grant on there. Chris Dahl applied for and obtained the Senior Safe Grant last year, and she's been coordinating some public. Safety events with the Marksville Senior Center. We went over there from last week, I believe. They had a public safety open house fair. There were other public safety organizations, other organizations that provided services to seniors, and we had a table set up alongside Comfire where we gave talks to seniors and presented some of what we have to offer with a senior safe grant to them. We've also, over the last couple of weeks, installed fire protection systems in several seniors' homes with the funds from the SAFE grant. Chris has now a stockpile of fire smoke alarms and CO alarms at the station for us to give out and give away. She had a presentation scheduled for this afternoon, and they got canceled. The senior center neglected to put it in their brochure, and they only had 3 people sign up, so they're going to reschedule that for another day. And there'll be a public safety talk to seniors along with a demonstration of an IANIS's fire extinguisher training talk. So we're waiting on that one.
Good.
There's a lot going on there. Other grants, EMS officer Shane Clark has, he got submitted today. He's putting in a grant for a power load system for the ambulance. So there's a new load system that's become very popular since we bought our last ambulance that uses the ambulance battery power to move the stretcher in the back and save people safe and back in. fairly expensive system, and he's looking to see if we can get some free money or something like that. And so he's working on that grant, which should have been submitted today, I believe. Computer aided dispatch of vehicles. Pete Emerson, firefighter medic, Peter Emerson, has been putting, had some iPads. So he's putting iPads in the ambulances and engines, which are current ambulance and engine, and my vehicle, which are connected to the computer aided dispatch. So it gets the calls in the vehicles, tells you where to go, tells you how to get there, gives you a list of pre-plans when they exist. We'll have other information, we'll get SOPs on there eventually, so they have access to SOPs. They've got mapping. Dispatch can now see where our vehicles are, so they can know, tell us if we're getting close to an incident. It will zoom in and be closer and show us where the fire hydrants are and other resources. So he's working hard on that. It's still a work in progress, but it's had a great boost in the last month on that, thanks to his help.
Terrific.
Still working with Town of Barnes and Open Cave for fiber optic. We're working with Comm, so it's going to be kind of a really needed thing, I think, with them at the same time. So they are working on putting in security systems in stations and coordinating that with an open cave system. And we're kind of trying to do it all at the same time. And we're going to also talk to them about security systems, and that comes up later in the talk. But this is obviously not happening overnight, so it's going to be an ongoing project that we're working on, and we're working to get there. So unfortunately, I've got a lot of parties involved, and it's not a real move to the speed we need, so we'll get there. Training, busy this month. We have live fire training scheduled for Mashpee Fire at the Barnesville Fire Academy. That's next week. October PowerPoint training station is Firefighter Rehab, which Lieutenant Puglia has put a PowerPoint presentation out for the officers to review through their crews. EMS Officer Clark has attended a DIPCO class, so that's a dedicated infection control officer. It's an infection control officer that is dedicated, where they get the training to the processes. So if someone gets infected with a needle or something else, there's lots of processes they have to go through for that. So he's receiving the training on that to make sure everybody's up to speed on preventing any injuries and contaminations in the future. And he completed that last week. That was a full week of training. Boat 266, it's in the water. It's been in the water for a couple of weeks now. Jeremy McPherson and Lieutenant McNamara have been doing a lot of training on it. They get used to the boat, and they today went over and trained with the Sheriff's Department. So the Sheriff's boat has the same navigation systems we have. So they were giving them a class on that. So as soon as they're done with getting themselves familiar with it, they're going to start training the rest of the crews. Been operating pretty well, no real problems. It's operating better than we actually expected. Thanks to, we had a lot of help from guys on staff, including Bill McNamara, put a lot of time into it. We had a Coast Guard civilian electronics installation guy who was able to get over here. He had just obtained the training from the Coast Guard to install that exact system, so it's a big help to us.
Nice.
He helped us finish it up and get it in the water, so that's been going really well. Next month, we're also going to be doing this month fire hose testing. So we've got a hose tester. They'll be laying out fire hose. I think they'll be doing one of the well sites. So every year, we're supposed to test fire hose. We bring it up to surface pressure, keep it under as high pressure, depending on what size hose it is, for 10 to 15 minutes. And obviously, some of it falls out. So the older hose, we find leaks and better find out when testing than out of fire. So we'll be doing that over the next couple weeks. EMS reports, the pro-EMS August and September reports are attached. I did include this month, which is kind of interesting. We talked about it before, the receivables, the activity report shows how much we received, which I thought was kind of interesting. I think it said that the average receipt for a medical call is $800. So it's interesting that here it is right here. So generally 50% of our patients are Medicare, Medicaid.
Mm-hmm.
And Medicare average reimbursement is $499, and Medicaid average reimbursement is about $300. So we got $300 to $500, regardless of what our billing rate is. We could charge $1,000, $10,000 a call, and that's all we would get from the feds. private insurance companies, their average reimbursement is $1,700, dramatically more. The other day, it averages out to about $830 per call. Still less than what our costs are, but that's just interesting to see how we
operate. Right, which is why we have the other report from the Pro EMS that shows
all
the shortfalls.
It does supplement. I mean, looking at general fund, but
it
does supplement the cost of the department. So, personnel promotional testing for a contract. We have to get promotional tests. We're going to be giving it next year between May 13th and May 31st. We haven't locked down a date yet. We have three bids. Ranging from $4,750 to $7,965. So obviously the low bid is Sylvester Consultants. It's the company that did the last, at least the last one here at Cato, with the last promotional exam. They did it 2-in-1. They thought when I was over there, local company. So I suggest we go with them. They're over $1,000 less than the next closest. $4,700, $58,000 to $79,000. So, with your permission, I'll sign a contract with them for next May to have them do that promotional process.
Either of you have any concern about?
Can you give me a quick thumbnail because I wasn't here?
Promotional process?
Yeah.
So, contract with the employment contract, the CBA with the firefighters, states that we will give a promotional test every other year. Every third year, we have to give a promotional test to the firefighters, and it's a promotional test for them to promote from firefighter to lieutenant.
Okay.
We only have 4 lieutenants. We don't have an opening for lieutenant. So, we're giving a test for something that doesn't exist. The idea is you keep up a list of eligible candidates available in case a spot opens up.
And then the CBA mandates this.
It mandates you have to do it.
Okay.
You don't have a choice to give it or not to give it. Unfortunately, it also mandates what it includes. So it has to include a written section. It has to include a practical problem. It has to include a couple other things. It's got to include a 6-month timetable to alert them to what books that are going to be covered on the written part. I'd love to find a way to, save some money here, but this.
And the cadence of this is every other year?
Every third year. So the list is good for 3 years generally. We're allowed to give it more often. We can give it as often as we want, but we have to give it every 3 years.
And these people, the Sylvester consultants, are the ones that administer this thing?
Yeah, we have to hire an outside company and do it for a contract. I can't do it myself. It's not allowed. It's got to be an outside company.
Okay. Do you remember these guys? I don't.
Yeah.
The Sylvester people, okay. I'll stipulate to what you say.
They have done it before. It's their stock and trade. I think their prices are high, but they're not as high as their competition. So
I've been out several times when I've gone to Nantucket, and I never got anybody less than them. Price around. It's worked. I mean, sometimes we talk about it in negotiations.
Next time,
racket. Yeah. It's actually where we believe we're not giving it exactly at the 3-year timetable. We're not exactly sure when the last one was given. We weren't able to find documentation, nor was the union that firmly locked down the date. So we believe that the date should have been a little earlier. Consultation with the union, we all agreed. They agreed. They voted on it as a union. They have no issue with giving it in May. But we've all agreed that this day works. They have no problem with it giving a little later than it would have. That we believe it might have been required, but everybody's on the same page and we're all in agreement. And
so no one's in breach, to speak.
Okay. No. Yeah. Technically, we did. You may not get the letter of the contract, but we don't know that for sure. I think the people who took it could tell me when they took it, but no one can figure out exactly when this other one occurred. So
either way, let's make sure that we keep that record.
For the next time. You have to keep a hold of it, so it's not a problem. We'll learn now.
Move that we accept the bid as described.
Okay, so there's no way to find out what.
Yeah, we must have paid the bill, right?
It's a three-year requirement.
We know it was given. It was about given in January.
One second, sir. How long have you been?
This is the beginning of my fourth year.
Do you recall it ever being done?
No.
No. So it doesn't really matter when it was done.
No.
At this point, contractually, we're obligated to do it once every 3 years.
Overdue, it sounds like.
Yeah. There's no issue with being not done. If it was done 6 months earlier, it's not going to matter. There were no openings. There have been no openings.
So
it seems
like our hands are tied.
We have to give it. If I see the business, it just is what it is. So.
Okay.
And we can revisit it at the next contract negotiations.
Well, it is kind of small data comparatively,
yes.
But it is still something.
The,
all right, yeah. I second that motion.
In favor?
Conley.
Pisano.
Zeis. All
right, I'll go forward with that contract and put them on.
Yep.
We also, promotional-wise, we have a new high school intern, Brad Child, riding with us. He's goes to Marston's Mills. He's been riding for about 2 weeks now. That's going well. We're coordinating more than the high school intern program with the other five fire districts. So we have group training days. Tomorrow, I think, is a group training day in Hyannis where they've got a new boat operation in Hyannis. They've got another day where they're going to go to the Mass Fire Academy as a group for all the Marston interns with representatives of all the departments to do that. And also then work with Cape Island ZMS to get trained and hit the policy and CPR with them. So it's we're kind of coordinating all on the same page. So every intern gets almost the same experience regardless of what department they participate with. Apparatus, lots of changes there. Everything is in service. We have nothing out of service. So that's a good thing. 266 is at the dock in service. That's the new surplus rescue fire boat. Reference relevant to that, docking issues we're working with. So we're working with Councillor Jessica Rapazetti, Harbor Master, and the town management for docking issues. We're talking to the environmental department. We're trying to find a real long-term solution to docking. The place we have it now is great. The question is just if it might be for sale sometime in the future and whether it's a long-term solution. There's a cost to it, which is not the optimal. We're working with the town to try to find what our other options are. So hoping in the next month or two to have some options for you. Realistically, it takes a long time to have new docks put in, with permits and everything else. So if we, there is a possibility to figure something out for next year, but that would be very difficult. So we're trying. And Jessica is pushing really hard for us, and she's a big advocate for us. So. New 260, the new pickup truck, is due in the end of...
This is the Chevy?
Yeah, Chevy 3/4-ton pickup to replace F-250 pickup. It's due in the end of October, and then it's going to go for the lights and siren install, so we should see it in November. So that should be coming fairly shortly, at which time Chris Dolly is going to work on surplusing off the old 260 and the old 269.
Mm-hmm.
She has a couple options. She's looking to figure out what the best option for us is there. So hopefully we'll be getting rid of those shortly.
Chief?
Yes.
What's the, I thought we talked about this a little. What's the color of, aside from the obvious red, but are we making any markings on it, or what are we doing relative to painting?
The new pickup truck?
The new pickup truck, excuse me.
I don't believe we've talked about it here.
Okay.
That's a great question. What are you as a body looking for? I mean, it's going to have lights on it. It's going to have red lights that go on the roof, so the roof will see the lights. We generally want to put the numbers on the side of the truck, so it's an identifier, so it'll be 260, so that when we go mutually to somewhere else, someone knows, hey, that's 260, it's 260, we know what it is.
Is there a big decal on the side?
Generally, that's just a smaller number, which is generally, 3-inch numbers, a couple inches long. We can put the seal on the side of the truck, the Katua Fire Department seal.
That's what I was thinking about, is it?
Yeah. So I guess maybe the best bet is me to put together a couple different options for you. We can do more undercover where it's just the number and not so many graphics. We can go more towards a parade piece where it's got gold leaf and pinstripe thing and everything else. So we can go somewhere in the middle. I can get some pictures of some vehicles, including the one we have right now, and maybe you guys for next month. I guess
So there are no regulations about this?
No, there's no regulations.
So the reason I want to bring that up is I think it's Mashpee that has on their pickup trucks, you know, white on the door maybe or something like that,
yeah.
And it kind of stands out pretty well.
Right.
People know exactly who it is, where it's from,
right?
So, and as the village, you know, depending on costs, right, we have to take that into consideration. And again, I think it was Mashpee, maybe it was Hyannis, I'm not sure, but there's one of them that kind of stands out to me. Depending on cost, I think based on the investment that the village has made in that, I think it would be good for it to be visible
right.
in the village. I don't see any advantage to stealth, right?
No.
I mean, when you're red and you have lights on it, you're not stealthy anyways, and there'd be no reason you'd want to be.
Nowhere. Yeah.
Right.
No, you're right. Let me get it.
I'd prefer not to spend a lot of money on it.
I would too. We're not looking for parade. I don't think any of us are looking for a parade piece. We just want to, like you said, show the investment, show that we're from. Obviously, want it to look good, but we don't want to spend a ton of money. So I can get some pictures the next meeting showing a couple different options on what the price tag would be for. I know Eugene Printing has the ability to cut up vinyl lettering. So they helped us out with a quote on that, and the guy who's actually doing the application for it, they do printing for us. That's fairly reasonable.
Yeah, I'd like to see the. Does 266 have a board on it now?
Yeah, it's always had a backboard. The old 266 had a backboard. It folded in half. It was stored inside the center console. It came in a protective case with headboards, straps, and everything else.
Good.
Relevant to vote, we should talk about this now, maybe. We talked about a naming contest. And so the Civic Association was coming out, and we announced the vote and put a picture in, and we talked about a naming contest, which we will put on our website. So Chris Dolly has started a Facebook page, like it to a fire, and we're going to put details on that. So my thought was, we talked about having a naming contest. My thought was that people would submit names to you as the commissioners, and you guys would, amongst yourself, create a vote and decide on what the name for the vote would be. I was hoping to have a dedication or christening ceremony for the vote in the spring, at which time we can announce the name, launch the vote, have a little PR event, get some rides to local residents on the vote. And then my suggestion was the prize for this naming ceremony would be a ride on the boat, coffee with Black Dog, ice cream, and Mad Marcus. So we take a family out, ride them to the vineyard, I'll buy some coffee and ice cream, and bring them back home at a date of their choosing. That was my suggestion.
I think the contest idea is good, and I think your plan is good. I think we have to look at what the ramifications are from an insurance point of view of transporting somebody that's not an employee of the district. I think you can get away with it if you're taking people for little rides along the in the bay here, but I think once you go on the ocean, I think it becomes a little bit of a different conversation.
Not a great question.
I volunteer.
There are generally releases, so we do ride alongs.
Oh, okay.
Santa signs one every December.
That's a valid point. I'm working to it.
Any idea what the fuel consumption would be from the two or three?
So it probably takes half an hour.
Let's think about all those
gallons
things.
Of fuel, probably 20 gallons of fuel, $3 a gallon, probably $60 fuel.
Back to the mechanics of the name selection.
Yes.
Is it going to be like pick a name from the hat, or do we actually want to vote on something we think would The Cindy Garden?
You guys do what you want to do. I trust your ability to pick out a reasonable name.
I would, so I'm going to cede any selection to my good friend.
I think it should be a conversation, but we'll do however it works out, it works out.
The commissioners will review submissions.
Nice.
You guys can do the determination. Maybe you'll come down to 3 or 4 picks if you can't decide between you want to pick out a hat at that point in time. This is long as we're not picking something.
In my experience, one rises to the top, everything else is
So you probably won't want to rise on the right.
And it will not be Bodie McBoatface. Sounds like a plan. Do they say how long it'll take? Good.
Once they get all the material, they should be
longer.
See what they do on three.
We'll see. And
And we have the option in the flat roof, if the rubber is intact, of not tearing it up and replacing it, but doing a liquid sealer coat over the top.
Chief, the door, I've never been down those stairs there to the left as you walk in the lobby. Is that door locked down there as well?
The lock does not have a lock. Nor does the door from the lobby to the front end that has no lock on.
To the front engine bay, I get that, right? And I think that would be, I'm not sure based on your business whether it makes sense to lock that door because you have to have quick access out to the engine bay.
Right.
You know, the first lock is going to be, you know, is what it is anyways. You have to put that on the inside door.
Yeah.
But is there any thought process to the bottom of the stairs to locking that up?
Yes, that's part of our lock. Once you get it unlocked, you should be able to pay it first. You should be able to
okay.
Get either of those doors. It's the
yeah.
Apparatus, the heater apparatus, the lower apparatus, or the upper apparatus.
What's that?
Down the lower one?
It's basement.
Oh, okay.
Just the
basement.
Storage and the brush breaker. If you go down the driveway,
yeah, that's what I
mean.
Or if you go in front, main public entrance, and set of stairs.
Yeah, like, yeah, it's on the
yeah,
okay, I promise that we'll get it.
And then the door on the far right-hand side of the garage as you're looking in, of the bays, excuse me, far right-hand side of the bay as you're looking in,
yes.
Which leads to the equipment room and then leads into the building itself.
Yes.
Is that locked now? So the bays are very often open, as they would logically be in a town, village, fire department. So even though you're going to lock up the lobby, that's an exposure.
Oh. There are multiple ways to get into the building right now. Unless the engine bays are down.
Right. So I guess what I'm asking, is that being addressed as well? That door is not...
So we want to look at kind of a systematic...
Okay.
These are security loopholes.
Right.
Coincidentally, Comfire has put up a bid, they actually awarded a bid. They're putting security systems, video systems in their stations, which get monitored by dispatcher, our dispatcher.
So be a CCTV system?
Yeah. So we may look and say, you know, we're at the same time, I don't know what we're going to cost, I'm going to find this stuff, maybe we have videos that are surveillance as well, that is monitored by our 24/7 dispatcher, we could put in those. So part of the possibility.
Yeah, the camera setups now are fairly inexpensive. I mean, you can get something like eight cameras for about $500.
You can bet they see a fire department and go, oh, there's enough left. The fire department enough left. But he's right. The tech has descended in cost. I applaud this. We do need to have more security.
Yep. Chief, have we ever, I'm just, one other thing. Have we ever had a problem with anybody else barging into the station that you know of, at least in the year that you've been there?
No.
How about you, Rick? You've been here 4 years in this capacity.
Yeah, I've seen in years past people going in and out when Mike Daly was the treasurer. People would come up the stairs and meet with him in front of his desk right next to the door to the chief's office. Sometimes the chief was out of the building and his door was open.
Right.
And citizens were...
Well, was that a statement that they were being let in or they were letting themselves in, or do you not know?
I don't know.
Right.
But I encountered a couple of situations where I asked people to take the business elsewhere.
When I
went in and the chief wasn't in his office and the door was open, I closed the door and asked them to take the business downstairs. So I
understand. I guess the bottom line, however, is we are now looking at these precautions because of one individual in the village.
Yes.
Thank you.
We consulted with people when they said, you know, what your best bet is, nothing really to be done here in particular, but your best bet is, in general, you probably need more security than you have.
Even in our sleepy little village.
I don't disagree.
Well, that's where we are. That lucky little thing open all the time, and people walk in and visit, but this is not the security.
Right.
You know what they say? Nostalgia.
Yeah, that covers yours. Under old business, the status of the Fuller Marsh Road, you have had a meeting out there.
We had a walk through
and the emergency aspect of that way dovetails in with the topic further on around hurricane preparedness, because that area back there is the main road is prone to flood.
that Main Street, where the Western State floods very easily, and then you hear about the Uber that the town is inaccessible once that happens. So this is proof, a lot of times the only way to get it out of that part of town. So they understand that now. It's also a significant fire break between fire access road between the conservation area, Two Oaks, Rocket Camp Conservation Area, and of course, Rocket, the Southwest Wind, that you got a brush fire out there. We need that. I think he wants us to have access to the fire before it burns through the property. So it's everybody's best interest for us to have the ability to get out there. So that would be it.
So I take it Attorney Ford has improved his attitude on this.
Yes.
Good. All right. We've covered promotional testing. Next item is the contract proposal. As of the last meeting, I had withdrawn the contract proposal that I had originally submitted for consideration in regard to the office manager's position. But what I would like to do is I've been looking at the package of benefits that are currently offered in the water department to non-contract employees, and they are similar but not the same as what we currently have for our non-contract employee. We also have the two people in the treasury department, treasurer's office, overseen by the Prudential Committee, and they have different benefits package. So what I'm, as a result of having looked at this, I'm interested in finding out if we have agreement to make a recommendation to the Prudential Committee to examine the status of non-contract employee benefit packages with the aim of creating a standardized package that would be the same across departments in the area of benefits, that leaves open negotiation around salaries and hours and work responsibilities for the various positions, but at least this package of benefits could be standardized in some way that makes them consistent across the departments. I'm interested in your thoughts.
So my gut reaction to that is that some of the package that I've seen or heard about relative to the water department, not necessarily the finance office, but the water department, seems to be a bit excessive in today's environment. I think a fair package was put on the table and accepted for the administrative position for the fire department, and to open up the conversation to a standardized contract only lends the possibility that we'll go a direction where the cost of that of the administrative person we have will increase. It will not decrease, it will increase only if we come to a standard package.
I don't know that I would have the same anticipation as you, but I respect your concern about it. It would certainly not be my intention to elevate the benefit standards on all these packages, but I do believe that it's an area that falls within, as I have gotten more into looking at it, it ought to fall into the province of the Prudential Committee, and I don't know why it was left to be done on an ad hoc basis across the three sectors of treasurer, fire, and water.
Evolutionary people that we work with, the commissioners that we know. I think it was, they weren't thinking about specifically trying to hide something. It was just, we're taking care of business. It would probably be useful for me, anyway, to reacquaint myself with the specifics of what, I guess it's Jim over there.
Yeah. And our treasurer and assistant treasurer and Chris Dolly and Jen, and I don't believe all the, right, except for the superintendent, their water maintenance people are all non-contract. And they have different, and there are things within how they're structured where there are some benefits left to the discretion of the superintendent, which may work for them and be useful, but it's different from what we have, and it's different from what finance has.
Is there a remind me again about the problem that we that surfaced that
some of the issues that we discussed. Yeah, some of the things we discussed around Chris's benefit package were issues around accumulation, buyback upon retirement. We have not completed to the extent that the Water Department has terms around leave for things like pregnancy, disability, jury duty. They actually have things in writing, and we have not. I don't know that we should. I'm just putting this out there that as I, the more I looked across the areas, the more diversity in this I saw. And so, you know, for as small an operation as the whole district is, it...
So if I could ask, if we step back for 1 second, what problem is it we're trying to solve by opening up the conversation? What is the problem we're trying to solve here?
One of the concerns that led me to begin to investigate this was that in terms of the office manager's position within the fire department is one that, and this is what led to my initial thought of we'll make it a contract, which upon discussion I have withdrawn because I have come to see the problems inherent in that. To make sure that there is a package on the table that we believe is fair and the employee feels is a reasonable benefit package. And when that person looks at other people working in non-contract positions in the same district, and there's disparities, that doesn't tend to be good for morale.
Yeah, I was going to ask the same question.
Her position being as new as in its expanded form, being as new as it is not something that where there's a reaction to historical precedent, but more a question of how are we going to do this and what would be fair. And so in conversations that I've had with her, and I believe that the chief has had with her, although I'll just speak to the ones that I've had with her, the question arose, well, how is it done in the district? How is it done across non-contract employees? And what is a reasonable standard? I don't think the particular package that we offered her is an unreasonable package. But
right. We had that debate when it came time to hire that position, create that position, and then ultimately hire her.
Right.
Which was we looked at making that a good package for whoever took that position at that time.
Mm-hmm. And
which is only how long ago?
It's a year.
It's a year, okay. Mm-hmm.
But what I'm interested in is really, is this something that you think there would be value to kicking to the Prudential Committee and asking them to at least examine it and take it under consideration.
One would think that that would be a good course of action. Given the players, I'm not sure it is. But I think I would rather have us come up with something that we feel comfortable with first before we... I would rather have something to say, is this within... Mm-hmm. Somewhat a body like that, just to look at it in the abstract, rather look at it from the specific, because we've created the position essentially for Chris. And I don't like it. I think we should keep it in-house, so to speak, first.
I would only amend to that we created it for both for Chris and for the chief. That the terms and parameters of the position were in part in response to your input about what you needed.
Well, there's a different role that she has filled very well, because he needs to figure out what role she fills in and grows with the job. Yeah, there's no question about it.
Right, and that's not, the position wasn't created for the chief, it was created for the fire department.
Correct.
Right, as a function within the department.
Right.
So, remind me, because you may know this, what was her salary? Did we have a salary increase in our initial package that we put out there?
No. We specified a salary, and there was no inclusion of forward-looking raises.
And have we, after a year, and I apologize, I don't know this off the top of my head, have we done anything from a salary increase after she's been on the job now a year?
No.
Okay. Did we specify a review at an annual
periodicity? No. No. Nothing that would, because it wasn't, these were some of the issues that I thought my original idea about, well, formalize this into a contract, that these would be some of the additional elements that would get incorporated. I do not believe that there's anything other than informal understandings at this point.
Can I make a recommendation?
Sure.
I would suggest that in the next session, we go into executive session, because conversations about earnings of employees within the district can be held in an executive session, I believe. And during that time, we can have a conversation and perhaps do some homework ahead of time as far as, you know, what wages are out there, what average increases in salary are in the position of that type on an annual basis, and maybe look at holistically, as a person is on in the position for a year now, what is it we should craft that would be appropriate for that person being here a year? Part of it's going to be this conversation, obviously, the benefits that are already in place, right, for other members. And we need to, I think, weigh what those pluses and minuses within the executive board here. Chief commissioners, whatever.
No, seems reasonable. Chief?
I don't have any problem now talking about, I'll talk about whatever you want to talk about, but that's not, nothing wrong with that. Chris is taking on new jobs every day. She's getting more involved, she's getting training to holes that we have to help make us a better organization. I don't know where we're going to be a year from now or next spring. I would not be surprised if role and their contribution to the department has significantly increased over the next year. I'm not sure today we have a good grasp on how her job is really changing between now and when she started it. But
maybe that's a good jumping off point that I think matches with that. So we need to take a look at this and say, has the job description expanded, and if so, how much? You know, and then maybe it's that's the point of impetus, or jumping off point for putting together potentially a different. It's not necessarily giving someone a raise that's doing the same job that they did a year ago. Mm-hmm. Okay, we have a new job. This job has evolved, and it's this other thing now. And we have to get our arms around.
I don't know. I don't mean to put this off, but I almost think that it's going to evolve more over the next couple of months. My suggestion would be before we really sit down, and I feel like we just looked at a lot of our stuff recently, and I think there's going to be a lot of change over the next couple of months. So maybe after the first year, we'll take a look at it again and review it as a performance evaluation, as a, you know, when you get the job started.
So I, for the record, and for whoever is transcribing this particular recording, I absolutely believe Chris does a wonderful job, and the fire department sees considerable value from her efforts. Right. So there's no question that here, right? So that's number one, and I see that the job is evolving, absolutely. If it's going to evolve over the next couple of months, I think that's very interesting, Chief. And I think probably relative to how it evolves, we'll be in a different position a couple months from now. So I agree with you. However, since this is kind of a subject that keeps coming up, I do believe we should go into executive session to have that conversation so that as an executive team, we have a understanding, agreement, direction, pick the terminology you want to use, mm-hmm. so that as things progress, we've already started down the road of moving towards an agreeable solution.
I don't see any difficulty with that. We can put it on the agenda for next month to go into executive session to flesh out some of our perspectives and questions, and we can also put it forward-looking on the agenda, say, in January for examining the status of the position and how it may have changed and what we want to do in response to that.
Perfect. Just let's dot our I's and cross our T's, make sure this fits within the four corners of one or more of those executives, so rules, definitions.
Okay. I'm just going to make some quick note. Back to our agenda. We have two items left to address. One is the annual evaluation of the chief, and the second is hurricane preparedness. As the hour is moving along and the item is of the evaluation, I believe is far more important because Michael isn't coming up our way this week. I would say let's roll that out to the next meeting and we'll visit it then and we can get ahead with the evaluation. Any objections to that?
I guess my only question would be, is there anything significant we should be talking about there, Chief? Relative to hurricane preparedness?
No, it's a long-term goal plan.
Okay, thank you. But I don't disagree at all with
it. So, in as much as the evaluation process is something that we have little established precedent to work from, we have been creating it as we go. On an experimental basis. We have temporarily adopted the Town of Barnstable Performance Appraisal System for managers as a first means of experimenting with how we want to do this. Have all three of us had an opportunity to meet with the chief?
No, but I have read this document. I have it.
And
I have spoken with the chief, and I have reviewed and pretty much finished off the document, the appraisal.
Mm-hmm. And I've had a meeting with the chief, and the areas that on this form that I found useful were the initial performance objectives. I did not do anything with mid-year review because we had not formally established performance objectives last 6 months ago from which to base it. I did the critical areas of performance checklist and evaluation using an interactive format with Chief, and I did not do anything on the last page relevant to calculation of salary increases because that wasn't the purpose of the process. How we proceed to the next step is open for conversation. Certainly.
I was just going to say, Chief, I agree with what you just laid out. You and I have talked priorities, even independent of this particular document, over the course of the last year. So I think that's great. I do think having conversations and then coming together as a board to determine what we view as a board being the priorities of the fire chief would be absolutely appropriate, thereby giving us the opportunity in 2019 to have a true mid-year review, because they would have been decided up front. And we could have that, right, all on the same page, and then have independent conversations with the chief and share our thoughts with him on growth, performance, and so forth. The only variable in that question is, and I did not look it up, is whether or not it's required in our contract with the chief to present him with an evaluation.
It is.
It is.
The contract, which I have, stipulates that commissioners shall review and evaluate the performance of the chief on an annual basis. The review shall be in accordance with specific criteria developed jointly by the commissioners and the chief, including but not limited to performance objectives and a performance criteria checklist. A written summary of said evaluations shall be submitted to the chief, an opportunity to discuss said findings, and for the chief to submit a written statement for attachment to said evaluation shall be available to the chief.
Okay.
So, inasmuch as Commissioner Zace hasn't had a chance to have that conversation with the chief yet, perhaps the next step would be for you to do that, and in our next meeting, I will in the meantime examine under the terms of executive session criteria whether or not this next step can happen in executive session, and that would be the exchange and of evaluation and feedback. But the end of the process, the written evaluation that will be submitted, I believe, will probably be public information. But I think that we need to find out if we can use the executive session process to get there. I will both review the thing myself and put a call into the attorney to get an opinion on it. If in the meantime you have an opportunity to meet with him and do yours.
I will do that. And in fairness, it's more of a chance for me to listen a little bit to the details. Thank you.
Right, and you know, we may differently find aspects of this form useful or not, and that's part of the process as well, because we're not locked into this form. Using this form is a trial.
Yep.
This run. And so our feedback to one another about what we found useful in it or not.
I think it's an excellent framework from which to begin the journey, you know, of how to get good at this.
Mm-hmm. So we can move this to be included on the next step on the agenda for next month's meeting, and it may or may not be an executive session. Is that the understanding?
Yes.
It is. My suggestion, and I am very conscious of confidentiality, right, and discussions. I would suggest, in the event of food for thought, that we cannot have a conversation of that nature in executive session, then I would suggest that we each create our evaluations, pass them into Rick as the chairman, for him to consolidate into a fourth by taking averages. We don't have to vote on this now. I'm throwing this out for food for thought. To take into, you know, take it, create an average situation for number four, and then leave it to Rick to do whatever write-up that should come from as a result of those and or any written comments that we may have put into ours. Again, nothing to be voted on now. I'm just saying if we can't go into executive session, that's what I would suggest how we would handle the ultimate creation of a final document. Single document.
Then perhaps when I get clarification about whether or not this can be done in executive session, if it cannot, I will alert the two of you to that and ask you to complete your contributions and forward them to me. And the agenda for the next month will be my presentation of the consolidated product.
Right. I'm thinking the presentation of the consolidated product would be done in the chief's office, in my opinion, not in the public meeting.
Right. That I do have to get a separate clarification then as to whether or not the written evaluation.
What was that? I missed.
The
written evaluation is not considered public.
Not considered, right. But double check that.
And I have no problem with you doing it, but making it. I have no, it doesn't matter if you want to make that public. Sign off if I need to, whatever else. I don't mind.
So when I, Chief, I appreciate that. I think when we have this conversation, I think more in terms of precedent, right? So I don't know that the department wants to set a precedent where we're evaluating our chief or any of our employees in a public format. That's my thought process there. Great that you're okay with it,
yeah.
Right? But at some point, if a hard conversation has to be had and a precedent's been set, then we have a potential issue.
Okay, so I will determine, get the information I need to make the determination about executive session, and we can either proceed to that executive session next month and do the consolidation in executive session, or if we're not allowed to do that, you two will submit and I'll produce a fourth version. Excellent. In as much as baseball game is going to start.
I make a motion. A motion to adjourn.
Second the motion. All in favor.
Conley.
Pisano.
Please.